is the New York State AFERD podcast entitled A through Z, Health and PE. We are your co-hosts, Drs. C and C, the true Pan-American connection. I am Clancy Seymour, and my tag team partner is the one and only Dr. Victor Ramsey.
Details highlighting our episodes, guests, contact information, publications, and other useful resources will always be included in the podcast show notes. For more information about New York State AFERD, please visit newyorkstateaferd.org or Facebook and social media handles at New York State AFERD. Let's embrace the journey, and now, on to our show.
Greetings, listeners. I'm Dr. Clancy Seymour with my co-host, Dr. Victor Ramsey. How are you, Doc?
I am doing well. Thank you so much. I am great down here in Brooklyn, New York. Got a little cold for me today, but it's okay. I'll make it happen and keep warm inside, and I guess that will help out. How are you doing up there?
The autumn has definitely begun, and we are feeling the winter around the corner. It's cold here in Western New York as well, for sure. We'll see how that carries out, but it's always fun this time of year to see the leaves fall. It's a fun time of the year nevertheless too. Indeed. So welcome to episode 11 of the New York State AFERD A through Z Health and PE podcast. A through Z, shouldn't I say A through Z podcast? I guess that's a different conversation at a different time, right? But anyway, in today's show, we will discuss a moving story and the important lessons we can learn from children in sport today. Our panel includes some fantastic people, and we could not be more excited for them to join us. Our first guest is the one and only Dr. Lisa Rahor. Dr. Rahor is a mom of three and the director for health and wellness studies in the Decker College of Nursing and Health Sciences at Binghamton University. She teaches courses in sports psychology, stress management, healthy college living, and women's self-defense. Awesome. When she's not busy traveling with her kids' sports or working backstage at her daughter's theater productions, she enjoys traveling in her motorhome around the U.S., riding her e-bike and working around her homestead in central New York. Welcome, Dr. Rahor. It's nice to see you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today. I appreciate the invite, and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Awesome.
Great. Our second guest is Dr. Rahor's tag team partner today, her wonderful son, Jonah Erickson Rahor. Jonah is an avid hockey player and devoted Toronto Maple Leafs fan. Oh, I'm sorry. There it is. Rangers, okay. I love it. Thanks, Jonah. Greetings, Jonah, my friend. Thank you for joining us today. Say hi to the listeners.
Hi.
Welcome, it's nice Jonah. To have
you, my friend. How old are you? Why don't you tell the listeners how old you are?
I'm 11 years old.
That is fantastic. And what grade are you in?
I'm in sixth grade.
Okay.
And
what position do you play on the ice?
Center forward.
Center. Oh, so you're fit and you skate all over the ice. I love it. Okay. Now, here is the million-dollar question for Dr. Rahor, Mr. Henry. We're going to introduce him in a second. Dr. Ramsey, what is your favorite school subject in school?
PE.
Oh, yes.
You nailed it.
That's right. That's right, man.
Yep.
My man.
And we didn't see Dr. Rahor here whispering in the ear or anything like that, but nevertheless.
Not at all. That came from the heart.
I expected him to say lunch.
That came from his heart. Trust me. It came from his heart.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good to hear.
I felt it.
That's awesome. Okay. So welcome, Jonah. It's nice to have you. And we're looking forward to you chatting with us today. Okay. So we are also extremely fortunate to have our third guest join us for today's show, Mr. James Henry. Jim is a father of three and has been involved in youth and college hockey as a coach and administrator for over 25 years. Jim's day job is leading a group of financial advisors in Western New York. He is currently the head coach of his son's 12U hockey team and has coached every age group from running an initiation program for kids under the age of six to being the head coach of a women's college team. Jim, his wife Becky, and family live in Pendleton, New York. Welcome, Jim.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. And for our listeners, Jim and I crossed paths a few years ago, and We got our boys play hockey together on the same team, and Jim serves as the head coach, and he was able to strong arm me, or perhaps better say rubber arm me, to join his coaching staff. And I'm very, very grateful for that. It's been a very rewarding experience. I've learned a great deal from Jim about modesty and the ability to give others a voice. So we're very, very grateful that Jim has joined us, for sure.
And what is this? And what is his team? You didn't ask the question about team, his favorite hockey team. You didn't ask that question.
Oh, well, I said all these good things, and unfortunately, it's funny you brought that up. You know me well. But the one flaw would be, and we're all flawed, is that I think he's aligned to I think there's a pro hockey team in Western New York called the Buffalo Sabres, but I'm not so sure.
And they're 2-0. They're 2-0.
Yes, they are 2-0.
Hey.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
My two favorite teams are the Sabres and whoever's playing the Leafs. So that's, you know, old
that's
joke,
all right.
But it works. It works well around here.
No Kraken fans yet.
Great unit. I love those uniforms, though. They're fantastic. Yeah.
Your color is gorgeous.
They're going to be a good team, though, Dr. Rahar. They're going to be good.
Probably, yes. Yes. Yeah. But a Kraken, like, I had to look it up. What is, who named a mascot Kraken?
Kraken. Wow.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, thanks to our guests. We're really excited for you to join us today. So today's episode is personal. And before we begin, please understand that Dr. Ramsey and I are intentionally striving to create a safe and brave space for open and frank conversation on a topic that may be uncomfortable for some. However, like many much smarter than us have suggested, being uncomfortable allows us all to learn and grow. So with that being said, I've invited Lisa and Jonah to share a story or two regarding some personal accounts of events that took place with Jonah playing hockey over the last year. I shouldn't have to say ice hockey, should I? But not that there's anything wrong with that. But yeah, I don't think I should have to say ice hockey. But nevertheless, Jonah and Dr. Rahar, please feel free to share your story.
Okay, great. I'd like to preface, or I guess, our conversation with giving you a little bit of background about like my personal philosophy in regards to dealing with issues with LGBT population. You know, we really strive in our family, because we are a two mom family, an LGBT family, to not broadcast it or shove it down anyone's throat. So, you know, as far as that being uncomfortable, we strive to not make people uncomfortable, but what we do try to do is educate them. And that's why we're here today, because we really feel that the more open and willing we are about talking about our family constellation, and that it's going to be helpful to other people so that they can kind of help understand. So our situation was such that a few years ago, Jonah was watching a Rangers game because he is a big Rangers fan, and it was Pride Month, and they were celebrating their support of the LGBTQ community by having everything in rainbow and even taping their sticks with rainbow tape. So Jonah saw the rainbow tape and had requested it. We looked around the stores, couldn't find it. And finally, last year for Christmas, I actually ordered some online. And once he received it, that's pretty much all he wants to tape his stick with. So last year, we were playing against a formidable team. It was a great game, playing, 10U hockey at the time, AAA 10U hockey. And tensions and emotions were running high, as they do in a lot of youth sports, and especially at this level. And the other team decided, there was a player on the other team who really didn't, I don't think, had the education on some of these issues, and thought that by, taunting or teasing Jonah for using that rainbow tape, that he'd get inside his head and maybe gain an advantage, and kind of pull Jonah out of the game. What ended up happening were some of Jonah's teammates actually heard some of the comments about Jonah must be gay because he's using this tape, and just some of the slurs and the not so nice things that oftentimes are said, when you're not mic'd up. And so his teammates became very upset and had gone over to the bench. And actually the one young man was upset enough that he started crying and said, that this wasn't fair, that these kids were saying this to Jonah and about Jonah. And so there was the issue right during the game that had to be addressed. Unfortunately, that young player had some other issues during that game where he caused some penalties of a more severe nature. And it ended up that that entire game and the situations got reported all the way up through the AYHL, which is the Atlantic Youth Hockey Association that we were playing under. And amazingly, I was actually pretty impressed that both issues, not only the really bad penalty where he the one skater actually stepped on another kid from our team with his blade and really kind of jumped off him and could have hurt him. Not only did that go forward through the organization, but also the issue that he was taunting by, you know, using some of this these slurs and calling Jonah gay and teasing him because he was gay. And so it ended up prompting a phone call from that president. And, you know, we had a long, like it was about an hour and a half when I talked to the president of that organization and, you know, again, really tried to talk with them about the importance of educating the coaches and the other players and the teams about, you know, these issues and how, you know, there really is no room for it. And we, our family overall felt extremely supported and encouraged by that negative situation, but it got turned into a positive. And Jonah, do you remember what your teammates did in the very next game?
Well, what they did is that they all put rainbow tape for the next game. And we had like two or three games that day. And they only, some of them, most of them only used it for one, but a lot of them, like some of them used it for the whole day. And the next practice too. And
how did that make you feel when your teammates taped their sticks also with the rainbow tape?
It made me feel that I wasn't the only one. And now if they were like gonna make fun of me again, they had to make fun of a whole team. And most likely. Wow.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I have chills.
Love it. Yep.
That's fantastic.
So from a mom perspective, you know, my wife and I were sitting in the stands. We were extremely touched by this. We come from the generation when, you know, it's still not okay to publicly announce your relationship or show, you know, affection towards one another in your relationship. You know, I grew up through the world of athletics. And, you know, there was a lot of derogatory comments made about women in sport, whether they were true or not.
Stereotype. It was so hurtful.
Yep. Absolutely.
And so to see my child now be able to come up through athletics and feel the support that I would have loved to have felt as a young athlete was amazing. It was a very welcoming experience for us, even though, you know, we're not usually both there at the same time for the games or things, you know, because we've got other children as well. But, you know, the outpouring of support that we felt from that team. And those people did not have to do that. We did not, you know, request anything special. We were actually trying to just work through like we normally do with Jonah and just say, you know, look, everybody's going to be picked on for things in life. This happens to be your thing that you have two moms. And when people realize it, they might be okay with it and they might not. And so the best thing to do is to try to explain to them, you know, your situation, and by letting them know that you're comfortable talking about it and answering any questions, as long as they're respectful questions, you know, hopefully through that conversation and education, we can make the world a better place. And we felt that support through that experience, and all the way up through the hockey organization. And that was what I think I was most surprised about, is that they didn't try to just keep it quiet or hush, hush it. They called, they wanted to know what we felt would be a good, you know, punishment for that other young man. And honestly, you know, I don't believe in punishing for that. I really did feel that an education was necessary. And this player's father was the coach. So, you know, that at this level, usually if a young person is going to have any type of prejudices, they are probably taught within the home or learned someplace. Mm-hmm. And so I emphasized that I really felt instead of a game penalty or game suspension, that there really just needed to be some sort of education, and that, you know, an apology even wasn't necessary. Because oftentimes I feel like in society, we apologize. And if we just say we're sorry, then it makes it all better in a way. And honestly, it doesn't. That's good for the perpetrator, but it's not really necessarily okay for the victims. And so, and you can use this in any type of scenario. I often feel that an apology is just a way to make the person who now has to face a consequence feel like they did something better. And sometimes the longer you sit with something and really have to think about what you did and how you made another person feel is much more of a punishment, if you will, than any other type of game suspension or something else that they could experience. So that was kind of how it was addressed and handled. And we were very happy with that resolution at the end.
I'm impressed. It's just very moving. And
yeah,
again, and Dr. Rahor, you're exactly right in a lot of ways. But you could have gone one of two ways. You certainly could have been angry and insisted on more, more severity in terms of a punishment versus the higher road approach that you took. So kudos to you.
Indeed. In fact, I was thinking, teachable moment. And I can't thank you enough for that, because you're right. You could have went the other way and it could have been worse. But you reminded me of, and I'm sure you might have read the book by Pat Griffin, Strong Woman, Deep Closets. And I remember that book vividly, because it was a book that was required because of all the stereotype and all the bad stuff that was happening when women who were in phys ed went into, women went into phys ed, the whole notion of the stereotype. So it's a recommended reading for most schools that are, I think it should be a recommended reading, but you reminded me of the book as you were speaking. So thank you.
Excellent.
Well, what do you think? Do you want to add to some other kind of reverberations, Dr. Rahor, about what happened not only, with Jonah in the short term of that story, but how things materialized moving forward?
Absolutely. So part two of our story continues into the spring season, when we began playing on a different team with other players from a variety of organizations in upstate New York. This was kind of a hodgepodge spring team, and that was supposed to go to two different tournaments, and Jonah still was using his rainbow tape. And during the early part of that team forming and early practice sessions, because of that rainbow tape, there were some other players on our own team at this point that were also kind of making some off the cuff remarks and accused Jonah of being gay because he used the tape and, did some things that weren't so nice in regards to not letting him change in that particular locker room and kicking him out. These unfortunately were some players that we knew, and we knew their families. And so at that point, while I did want to speak out and say something to the coach, Jonah had requested to handle it on his own. And I said, okay, we can do that as long as you can handle it. And what ended up happening was, do you want to fill in, Jonah? What ended up happening by you using the rainbow tape?
Well, my prediction is that they were spreading a rumor that a kid on the team was gay, and they were probably using my name. And so he just came up to me and didn't want to say my name, but he was just wondering if I was gay.
Another teammate came up to you and asked you if you were gay, right?
Yeah, and I said no, but I have two moms that have gay parents. And at first, he thought I was joking, but I said I wasn't. And, we just kept on going on. And I'm like, I thought he was joking too, but the next practice, his mom won. So I knew the one mom, and so I knew that he wasn't joking. And then my other mom went to one. And
so so this player revealed some personal details about his family.
His family.
Very good. Impressive.
That's awesome.
Think he would have done that before if you had not had that rainbow tape on?
No, because he was really shy. He wasn't an outgoing
person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of hockey players on the teams think that use the gay word as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably just doesn't say anything about it.
Yeah, that's something we'll chat a little bit more about today, about some of the things that we can do to make the game better, and whether it's hockey or any sport, about some of the still some of the issues that prevail, for sure. Well said, John.
Brave young man.
One of the questions or one of the conversations Jonah and I have had a lot is, you know, why do you want to use the tape? And if you don't want to use the tape, you know, you certainly don't have to use the tape. But when you recognize that this was helpful to this other kid, right? Your other teammate that also was able to share that he had two moms. What did it make you feel like?
Well, it made me feel that I wasn't the only one. And he was actually the first hockey player and first like friend that I had that had that has gay parents. And I already got used to the tape and I just kept on using it. And sent after that made me very happy inside. So now I just want to keep on spreading it to other teams that I play. If they have gay parents, that they know that they're not alone and it's okay.
Wow. A brave young man.
Brave indeed. Wow.
I have a lot to be proud of.
Indeed.
You sure
indeed.
Do, Mom. You sure do.
So you passed on that knowledge and he's going to take it on. That's right. Good job.
Well, I really appreciate, we really appreciate you sharing your story, bravery, and your faith. It's just impressive. Yeah, it's very moving. Well, we do have, you know, there's a lot to think about here. There's a lot to reflect on. And we have Dr. Rahor and Jonah, and we also have Mr. or Coach Jim Henry here as well, who can certainly add to the conversation. So what do you say we try to dive into this a little bit more and ask some questions, Dr. Ramsey? What do you think?
Sure, absolutely. Let me start with Jim. Thank you so much again, Coach, for being here with us. In your opinion, how has the sport of hockey evolved regarding the LGBTQIA issues, in your personal opinion?
Well, it's a tough act to follow, by the way. So thanks, I guess. I talk about finance all day. It's a lot easier to keep going with that. I think Jonah and Lisa, I think they hit on all angles of it. I think the good and the where we have work to do. You know, I think the top-down approach with, you know, the NHL and, you know, like seeing the Pride game, you know, here in Buffalo, the Sabres and the Penguins did a joint Pride game where they used the tape on sticks and raffled them off. And, you know, I think if you looked at the social media coverage of it, you would see everything that's great and terrible about where we are with inclusion right now. And I can't, you know, I maybe would be more angry than Lisa, you were in that situation. So, you know, kudos to you. But I think, you know, and USA Hockey has some great resources and they've provided some great content and, you know, the idea of inclusion and frankly, you know, to me, I think diversity and inclusion go hand in hand with hockey and, you know, we need to do a better job of reaching out to folks that aren't, you know, the stereotypical classic hockey player, because that hasn't been everybody. We just sort of assume that everybody was, you know, a straight white male in hockey for a long, long time. And that's really true in society more than just ice hockey. Right. So, you know, I think we've done a lot of things well. I think Lisa, you know, and Jonah, you point out that the organization took things very seriously, that the parents were supportive. I'm sure that when Coach Clancy and I were playing hockey as kids, if someone used the term gay or something as a pejorative, which it still is, but was done even much more in the past, it would have been like, oh, like whatever, like, don't worry about that. Like, kids are being kids, you know, don't be so sensitive, right? Not realizing that we're likely alienating who knows how many kids that didn't fit the stereotype of what a hockey player was. So I think USA Hockey takes it very seriously. I think, you know, I think leagues and organizations take it very seriously. I think, I think NHL is really doing its best to say that, hey, hockey is for everyone. And I think it really needs to be grassroots. Like as you're saying, it's an educational opportunity. Like, you know, I think the beauty of hockey, not to get too preachy, but I, you know, Coach has heard me talk about this before. The beauty of I think any kid being in youth sports, to me, one of the biggest benefits is I always call it the struggle, right? They learn to overcome the struggle in hopefully a very positive environment. Right. Where it's like, there's going to be tough parts. Hockey, I think, is beautiful for this. Hockey's not easy. There's times where it's very difficult physically, mentally. Like, you have to learn to overcome. It's a challenge every time you go on the ice. I mean, you know, we were talking a little bit before we started recording, and Vic, you were saying how hard it must be to learn how to skate and play hockey and all these things. Sure. It really is. Imagine being a four-year-old trying to figure out on, you know, two butter knives. So the whole sport is about overcoming adversity and challenge, which, of course, in the real world, that's what life is, right? Like, you can't, you know, as a parent, sometimes we want to, you know, make the world easier for our kids, but that's really not helpful. We need to make the world, our kids, better for the world, right? So hockey, I think, is the perfect venue for that. The other side of it, though, is we've done a pretty lousy job of being inclusive and having diversity. Now we're doing much better, probably, but yet we haven't, you know, done as good of a job as we can to make this sport more inclusive. If for no other reason, what we just heard today, you know, that it's still, these things are looked at, you know, as pejoratives, that they're, you know, and frankly, in the hockey community, there's probably a lot of folks that, you know, if someone was identified, you know, as having a different orientation, that would be a negative stereotype. You know, that somehow with male athletes, you know, maybe particularly, that if someone's gay, that means somehow they're weak or they're not as strong or they're not as manly. And we know this is pervasive in society because look at what we had last week with Coach John Gruden, right? An NFL football coach he basically hit everything you could possibly, he could offend almost anyone he possibly could, whether race or, you know, and he really did an incredible job of offending everyone possible. But it just shows you that even at the highest level of sport, that these people are supposed to be the most well-educated. And, you know, he's dealing with a team that is 70%, you know, black. And he still, you know, is using phrases that, like, have no place in society, let alone a diverse workplace. So, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. I think, you know, you hit on it very well, Lisa, in saying, like, you know, I view my job as coach is a responsibility, you know, and that, you know, players in youth hockey or any sport might look up to their coach as much as anyone next to their parents, right? The teachers don't have, you know, a PE teacher, for instance, you know, what do you get the kid every other day for 40 minutes and you might have 50 kids in there. So, I mean, like, you know, you can make a connection, but good luck, right? Like,
listen, I've trained him well, right? Yes. Right? So he's hearing my claims, right?
Well, it's all the time, right? It's always like, you know, but I support it fully. Probably why he invited me on, right?
Switch from finance to phys ed.
Yeah, there you go, right? Hey, don't get me started, right? But right. But the point is that coaches have such a unique opportunity to help, just, you know, just help these young athletes grow.
Absolutely. And
I think the simple thing that I would say that we could do going forward is just, you know, I don't know if you have to sit down and, you know, Lisa, you said it well, is you're not trying to be in your face about it, right? But it's about educating players to, like, there's no point, like, you know, I am not a big fan of trash talk with my players. We stress all the time. And I pulled a kid off this week that was calling a kid short. And I'm like, you can't, like, no, we're not, you know, and in the scheme of things, you could say it's probably not the worst thing, but let's not point out someone's physical characteristics. It's not acceptable. You know, we're not here to talk about anything about them that they, you know, they can't control, so to speak. Right. And it's more than that. Right. But it's just setting the tone that this is not the type of team we're going to be. You know, we're going to be an inclusive environment. People are going to be different, because I really think the thing that we've probably, you know, really the damage we've done in the last 100 years of ice hockey is how many players were sitting in a locker room that were different, that could never talk about it and could never be comfortable because we didn't have the right environment to let everyone feel welcome.
That's right.
And that's where we need, you know, to do better going forward.
Right. A couple of things jumped out of me as you were talking. And one of them is the word, something that came was the word hope. I think that we do have hope in that we are educating in bits and pieces, i.e. Lisa's story, the fact that she used the moment to educate. And what are we doing about it is what we're doing right now, having a conversation that hopefully we get to the ears of others who will then pass this information to others. And again, I'm thinking about the word evolved, you know, like a lot of people have not evolved from the general society, and then bring it into sports takes a different little picture, you know. So I thank you for your comments, Coach. I really appreciate that. And it sort of echo a lot of information and the message that Lisa brought in our opening statement. So thank you for that.
And if I could just follow up and say that, you know, I appreciate you and many of the coaches that Jonah has had that to be that male role model that, you, let's face it, I mean, we're going to be honest here, that's lacking in my family unit right now, is that male figure, male role model. And as a coach, you are fulfilling that, but you're fulfilling that for the other families who maybe dad passed away or mom and dad are divorced and dad's no longer,
right,
or grandma and grandpa are raising, you know, the child, or there's just a multiple of different family units or reasons why, you know, as a coach, you fulfill that role model. And I also want to follow up and say, you know, we think that if we, you know, exploit people's differences, that, you know, somehow that makes us stronger. It actually makes us weaker. And as a team, and you all know this from coaching, that we're only going to be as strong as a team as our weakest link. And if we have someone sitting in that locker room, not feeling that it's a safe place or that they can share, you know, who they really are with people in that environment, that is going to be a weak spot on that team. And that's where I think I feel so grateful in that, you know, having the support of the other players' parents, to be willing to step out there and, you know, tape their kids' sticks. You know, I mean, that brought tears to my eyes. I did not expect that. And I would not expect that of anyone. You know, but just that show of solidarity and support, was definitely a sign that in this particular team, you know, even if they didn't win a game, they won in so many other ways.
Right.
And that's the message, I think, that especially within youth sports is sometimes lacking today, that we need to bring back to the surface. And it's through these types of experiences that I think we can do that.
And let us remind our listeners of the bravery of young people like Jonah, who was able to show his teammate that, you know, I'm there with you. And that will be passed on also. So let's remind our listeners of Jonah's being such a brave young man and doing that as well. So he's also helping with the teaching and he's also helping with educating others. So we thank him too. That's right.
Agreed. And now another tough act to follow on Coach Henry. That was fantastic stuff. And I think, you know, emphasizing what Dr. Rahor said and now Coach Henry, some key points to both of their remarks. One, responsibility. And, you know, I couldn't agree more, having had the opportunity to work side by side with Coach Henry over the last few years, about how serious he takes his role as a leader of young people. Okay. And what, you know, goes with that responsibility, like Lisa said, it could be a father figure, you know, a male figure, whatever it may be, understanding that it's much bigger than just being the coach, so to speak, that it, in some cases it could be quasi family members, whatever it might be. So I think that's really critical. And I think the other piece to this is safety, right? As a coach, we have to provide a safe culture to grow and learn. Just like Coach said in his own way about adversity and the struggle. You know, I mention it to my students, whether they're teaching majors or coaching candidates, that, you know, we have to provide a safe learning environment for children to fail. They can't, because in order to grow, you must fail. So we have to provide them that safe learning environment to fail and help them up to learn and grow and get better. So that's fantastic stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to our next question. And some of this, you know, again, Dr. Rahor and Jonah and Coach Henry have done a really nice job of answering some of these questions. So they may overlap a little bit, but let's see where we go from here. So Dr. Rahor, what successes and challenges have you seen?
Well, I think that, again, it starts at the top down and seeing the NHL put themselves out there with the different pro organizations and using it as a way to celebrate the issues, I think is key. And, you know, I think that's a trickle down all the way through all of the organizations. And I'd like to think that it will continue to do that. So, you know, I think that that's a huge success, that it's out there, that we're able to have conversations like this. And that I'm hopeful for a future where it will be a non-issue. And that's the direction that I'm thinking and hoping that the entire sport will go. And as we see the growth on the women's side of hockey, I really hope that this continues, because I do think that it will be important for our young girls that are learning now to love the sport. It seems to be becoming much more popular, that, you know, they will also take advantage of growing up within a sport and a culture and which is open and welcoming to them, you know, regardless of their sexual orientation or, you know, their skin color or, you know, what they like to eat in the morning for breakfast. Because really, you know, it's all the same.
Indeed.
Well, you know, you mentioned this before too, Lisa, that like I started coaching women's hockey in the late 90s and early 2000s. And if I had $5 for every time someone said, you know, girls play hockey, I would be retired by now. Right. So, I mean, it was just nonstop. And I was the guy that played hockey, I played college hockey, whatever. And like everybody like, oh, really? Like how it was like a novelty, you know, even though it had been around for a long time. And you know, it is about, to me, it's like coaching is just about leadership development, and it doesn't really matter. You're, you know, sure, the curriculum might be different when you're coaching 6-year-olds versus 22-year-olds, but it really is just the same. Right. And hockey is just a conduit for that. And I think that that's where, you know, my message to coaches would be just to think about big picture a little bit more, small picture a little bit less. You know, if you know, so I'm sure some of the listeners know Clancy pretty well. You know, we both have a real strong eye for detail. We obsess with the details when it comes to performing skills and what have you, because that's, you know, success comes on the margins. With that being said, the results of the game are much less important than the results of the character development and the leadership development of the boys and girls, the men and women that we're coaching. And I think you're starting to see that. And I will say, not to toot my own horn, I recently, a player that used to, she played for me and is now a coach actually in New York City. She coaches her son's team. Oh. And was on a coaching podcast recently. And I listened to it and I was like, you know, and she talked a little bit about how, like, you know, a little bit about our relationship kind of indirectly. And it's not, like I said, to toot my own horn, but I'm like, she said all these things I almost forgot I said, right? Wow. And I was like, oh yeah, shoot, I should write that down. I don't talk about that anymore. Why did I stop talking about that? You know, because I coached her 15, 20 years ago. And, wow. And it was like, wow, like it just shows you the impact you can have. And if you do, you know, no one's perfect, right? There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect coach. There's no perfect teacher. There's no perfect anything. But if you just really, I think, focus on like what the goal here is, you know, you might be surprised that you get some amazing outcomes. And obviously, you know, Jonah's coaches have done an awesome job, and you guys have done an awesome job. And he's, you know, that's what it's all about, you know, is stories like that.
Testimony of your hard work that you can see 15 years later is resonating with people. That's how you know you actually taught something, you know, and wow.
Yeah. But you know, the gray hair that, you know, we got going on here. that's what you can see. It's been around for a while.
The interesting thing is I remember, you know, coming up through my, you know, PE days and stuff, we always talk about the importance of, you know, what does athletic provide for our kids, and, you know, why is it important that they're part of a team? Well, they learn cooperation and teamwork and time management and, you know, like all of these great things. I think we need to add personal responsibility to that, because if we learn respect for others, we learn how to, you know, and include other inclusiveness. And I think that those are the things that really athletics, whether it's hockey or basketball or football or whatever, really have the opportunity and do teach to some extent. Right. And I think that that's really, you know, the emphasis that we need to preach even more. So you're going to have a higher GPA if you play sport, manage your time better.
For sure. Wow. Well, amazing. You know, and Lisa, you mentioned a really good point too, that yes, we're talking about hockey and we're talking about diversity and inclusive approaches and practices, but you know, this is not just hockey. This is sport as a whole. We can learn a lot about how to be more inclusive, how to get better, for sure.
Indeed. All right. Thank you. So, Coach Henry, let me ask you now that what does the USA Hockey and the NHL and other organizations do to promote and advocate for LGBTQIA people and or issues today? Well, you alluded to some, but other things that you know about?
Yeah, and Dr. Rahor did as well. Like, so they're definitely, I think, more and more teams are doing Pride games. You know, Pride Month is in June. It's not perfect for hockey. So some, you know, teams are doing it different times, which, I mean, to me, I don't know. Maybe it's easy for me to say, do it in October, do it in February, do it whenever it fits in your calendar, right? but they're doing games that USA Hockey has, you know, they're sharing a lot of stories. There's lots of videos, you know, stories, you know, maybe in some ways similar to Jonah's, that they're sharing that. But it's also part of the coaching education, where they are talking a little bit more about that. You know, once again, I think we could do more, but I think it has to be grassroots. I would bet that, you know, organization is probably different. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that's funny, so coaches go through education, but players kind of don't, right? They get it from their coaches. Parents definitely don't, and maybe should, right? Like Coach Clancy and I have to sit through hours and hours of education every year, which, you know, I'll admit I probably complain about some of it because it's maybe a little bit longer in certain areas than I feel like maybe it has to be, but there is a lot of good content in there. You know, I think we could, you didn't really ask what we could do more, but I'm just taking this, the question, I guess, where I want to go with it is, I think, you know, maybe some parental education would be great. But I do think that it is something that is, you know, and it's true with inclusion and diversity, where if you are a person that's not, you know, this, you know, upper middle class white guy, you can white straight player coming from a nuclear family of a mom, you know, we are doing a better job as a sport of saying, hey, like, this is an example of somebody that is maybe, you know, going through something similar. Hockey is for you. You know, we have a lot of work to do, but I really think we have come a long way. We want to look at the positives. I think that's, this story 20 years ago would have probably not been as heartwarming. And I think, you know, I think they see that as an opportunity. I think the hockey community as a whole really sees diversity and inclusion as one of the most important initiatives going forward. And that's something that I'm excited about and happy to be, you know, that's why I'm here today, to help just push it along just a little bit. Cause I think we can do a lot. Yeah.
I was thinking, USA Hockey there's a journal, a magazine now. Right. And I was thinking how beautiful it would be to have Jonah's story in there. I don't know if, our guest Lisa, I'll consider that, but that would be a story that I would think would be compelling to have in a magazine of that magnitude, reaching out to the editor and say, hey, you know, a nice little draft of an article that could go in there. And to your point, Coach, you do the education of yourself and your cadre of coaches and trickle that down to your players. And I could see organizations at some point taking on the charge of educating parents as well, because had the parents of the other teams that Jonah was playing against had some notion of the level of respect. And I don't like the word tolerance, you know, word respect for people's sexual orientation or what have you, is what resonates with me. So thank you for sharing that.
So there is actually a story on their website about using Pride hockey tape,
right?
That they shared, that, you know, I'm sure Jonah's story would go right there with it, would be perfect. But it's,
there we go.
But these stories are getting out there, which is great.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Props to Dr. Ramsey. I think it's a great idea for Dr. Rahor and Jonah to explore. You well deserved.
Not only will it be a player, he will be an author. So, you know, he could put write that article, quote him in there. That's absolutely.
That's fantastic. We'll have to send Dr. Ramsey a complimentary Toronto Maple Leafs jersey.
Oh, no doubt. Indeed.
Accordingly.
And for what it's worth, whoever invented the rainbow tape is brilliant. I mean, it just looks like, I mean, it's like, well, how'd you do that? Right. Like, it's really well, I mean, it's I hate to say it's cool, but it is just really cool. Like, it looks cool. Like, it's well done.
Skate people will appreciate cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right.
But you start using it, because I have to be able to tell which stick is his when he's out there, and they're all.
Yeah, for sure. Good point.
Oh, wow. Maybe they have the letters then that you could just put the names in it. There you go.
There you go.
Absolutely.
But you know, Coach Henry, kidding aside, brings up a good point about the education that coaches require, teachers to some degree.
Yeah.
How little, you know, Dr. Ramsey, you brought up, how little is there expected from a parental side of things as being a contributing community member in an athletics program to develop children? Maybe there should be some sort of expectations.
Absolutely.
If you want to be a part of this particular youth association, this organization, this opportunity to become active and a part of your local community, you have to make sure you take part and buy into the message, the bigger goals, right?
Yeah, I witnessed while I was watching soccer, they had the captains of the team. I was watching Mexican League, and they read the whole pledge about respect for people. And I'm saying to myself, I know that teams or sports put out, you know, parental advisories, like don't, you know, berate parents, referees, whatever,
kids,
yeah, referees, all that stuff. But something like having a safe and welcoming environment for all should be part of that language. And I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely.
Right.
Indeed.
And so that's funny. You, mm-hmm. Dr. Evans, you brought that up, because if you go to a baseball diamond, you go to a soccer field, a lacrosse mm-hmm. pitch, a cross country, facility or a track, hockey arena, they all have these pledges about what parents should and
should to do. Right.
So you know, it's already there. I don't think, I'm sure Dr. Rahor would agree, I don't think you need to go look at the body of literature when it comes to coaches about one of the major frustrations in youth association or coaching children is not necessarily the children. It's probably the parents.
The parents, right. Yes. Excellent. Good point.
The old joke, right? I think I could get away with this here. The old joke is every coach's dream is a team full of orphans, right? Because you wouldn't have to. I say this having a great group of parents that you know, they've also been lectured by me for 4 years now, most of them, about how to talk to referees, that is a 15-year-old kid. It's not appropriate anywhere in society for an adult to scream at a 15-year-old, especially when you don't know, unless they're in some sort of physical danger and you're warning them of a, right? So you can't scream at other, but you can, parents somehow feel they get away with it. So yeah, we have a long way to go in that area. And I think it would be helpful. It's interesting. I guess I said it, but hadn't really thought about, you know, how you could do it in a higher level. But I think
it's a great point. And I'm glad Coach Henry brought up the referees too, because a lot of times another way to allow the sport to cultivate, to grow, is to have more referees, right? And what do we see? We see young referees possibly doing it, and they get turned off because they're being yelled at by parents or coaches that are out of control, are taking things way too seriously and don't have the bigger picture in mind, right? Another way to grow the sport.
Absolutely. So Coach, you know that many of our listeners are health physical educators, work with after-school programs, or coaches. What advice would you share with teachers, coaches, and parents when addressing topics pertaining to LGBTQIA? And let me just add also another group, future professionals in our field, because I think that's very important. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because working in New York City, we come across teachers who may have students who identify as LGBTQIA. Our office is doing a great job with educating our professionals. But nonetheless, sometimes they are either nervous, don't know how to, you know, address certain topics or so on. What advice would you give these various groups, starting with, say, teachers, coaches, and of course, parents, and then future professionals in our disciplines?
Well, I would say from my perspective, and I wouldn't put myself out to being an expert in this area, and also am you know, not part of that community myself. But I think when you're coaching, when you're working with different individuals, I lead a diverse team of professionals as well. It's always about expectations. You know, I think when the first conversation that we had, I don't know, no one delivering snacks to me, like what the heck. This is awesome. Love it. So I would just say that, you know, the first conversation that we had with our team this year was about, you know, about our identity, and we have team rules. And I think the team rules are sort of our guiding light, our North Star, if you want to, you know, whatever people say these things, and whether they have impact or not, I don't know. But we, you know, we have three rules, and I'll just share them with you really quick. One is team first, right? So we're team first, and that so many things fall into that. When you're, you know, if you're being selfish and you say something to another player, another team, you get a penalty. Was that team first behavior? No. Let's think about the community. Number two is always positive. And the sub part of that is we never criticize, condemn, or complain. It's hard to do. It's really hard to do. But like, we don't, we're always positive. We don't criticize, condemn, or complain. And Coach and I maybe have to, you know, remind each other.
We have to work on that from the bench a little bit.
Once in a while, sure, we have to remind ourselves. And rule three is always 100%, right? So it's an effort part of it. So, you know, we start with that. And I think if you can, you know, we talk about what it means to be a Blade. You know, we talk about the culture and what our priorities are, that we're here to achieve team goals, that we're here to be for each other. And what I said at tryouts this year is imagine an environment where you walked in to a locker room and everybody else in that locker room cared more about your well-being than they did their own. How would you feel walking into that room? And every kid's like, oh my God, that would be amazing. It's like, well, we can be that team. We can care about each other more than you care about yourself. So if you try to start, I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying that, you know, they're 12-year-old boys. So there's, you know, there's plenty of moments, right? And I'm not giving the boys, I shouldn't even say that. They're 12-year-old athletes, right? We're not, boys will be boys. I hate that. People say that. And I just like, let's not let them off the hook because of their gender or whatever.
Yeah.
But because that's a whole different topic, right? So, but the point is that if you know, so they're far from perfect, but if we can create an environment where we're here for each other, it just lends itself to talking openly about things that might come up, you know? And I think the other thing I would say is just, you have to be observant. I think when I hear the spring hockey story, and I don't like, you would love it if you knew that one of your players was being told they're not getting dressed in a locker room. You know, you have to be present. You have to be observant. You have to build trust with your players so they feel they can communicate with you. That's one of the tough things when you get a new team. I can't imagine as a teacher, you know, even a coach of like a modified soccer team, where you get them for what, 8 weeks or something, and like you don't know these kids. And next year, you get a whole other batch of kids probably. Mm. Like trying to build the trust and communication and lay the groundwork has got to be extremely difficult. You know, Coach and I have had a lot of these kids for multiple years. So you really get to know them, and there's a trust factor there where, you know, they will talk to you about these things, or we can have open and honest communication that's age appropriate for them. So, you know, I would say try to start with expectations, be present, listen, pay attention, you know, and keep the big picture in mind. And that would be my best advice. And I think, you know, being specific to folks of, you know, whether they're different, you know, race or different orientations or different gender identities. I think, you know, I don't think you have to treat those specifically different if you just have open communication. You know, it's like, I don't think you want to make them like, oh, hey, I need to talk to you about this that's different. It's let's just, I'm talking about you as part of this community where we're all building together. And if these things come up, we're going to address them because I'm your ally. I'm your advocate. And they know that you care about them, because it applies to coaches too, right? You have to worry more about them than you do yourself. And if that's the truth, then you're going to be able to hopefully foster an environment where you can move forward when it comes to what could be very difficult situations sometimes.
Thank you. We created a card, and I'm so sorry I don't have it readily here. I left it in my car where we in our office take it to schools, and we have it on our as part of our ID card. That students see they could as a safe adult that they can come, and to your point, Coach, trust this adult that they can come and have a conversation with. I'd be happy to follow up with a blurb on that.
You sent me some, Dr. Ramsey.
I have
it on top of my office door as well. So
there we go. So that's right.
Dr. Rahor?
I wanted to ask her. Because I thought about future professionals, and I would love to hear your take on this.
So I think the future professionals right now are coming from a generation where they have grown up much LGBTQ issues because, you know, Will and Grace and, you know, episodes of Friends and just, you know, that whole a lot different. They have seen more gay rights come to the forefront and be accepted, you know, the adoption rights and gay marriage. And so I think that, you know, through the later 90s and 2000s that our future professionals, when they grew up, it was a different environment. I think that more people started, you know, coming out of the closet and within maybe their own families. So it's not as big of a hurdle to overcome, I think, for them. Not that some sort of, you know, training and education isn't necessary. I think that it is. But again, you know, I did like when we were talking earlier about, you know, not necessarily pointing it out and addressing it and making it something, you know, of an issue, because it really should just be like anything else. You know, we all get
Absolutely.
Up we all have the same concerns. We all, you know, eat breakfast, take showers, do the same things. It's not that we're different. And so I think if there's a way to blend it in with an education and with, you know, other issues of, you know, we do child abuse mandates and, you know, talking about, you know, some of those other issues that as educators, we may, you know, run into more frequently and be prepared for. I think this is one of those, but I don't think that it has to be belabored by any means. And, you know, like with us, it's a non-issue until someone else makes it an issue. So, you know, we've been, you know, welcomed by a lot of friends that, you know, our kids have with their parents. We've met some wonderful people. And it's kind of always been a non-issue, just like, oh, okay, yeah, this is great. And we've always been included and involved in the kids' activities. And I think that that's a good thing. And again, the openness. And I think that that's one of the things that we know we're talking about. We have to educate all these other people. Well, we also have to educate families like mine to say, you know, yes, it's hurtful when you hear derogatory comments or when your child is being bullied, you know, for something that they can't help. For an example, the family constellation at this point, but it's also our duty and our job to educate people. And one of the things that I know that through my own, you know, coming out experience was, you know, it took me 18, 19 years before I realized what was happening and really to come to terms with it. And you can't just expect people to come to terms with things overnight that they have been unfamiliar with and, you know, not around much in their lives. So I think that that's where my philosophy on education comes in as being so important is, you know, it does take people time and open communication and, you know, in a non-threatening environment and just being able to, you know, say, you know what, we can agree to disagree and that's okay, but it's not okay to be hurtful in that situation. And that's pervasive across a lot of different issues that we're dealing with right now in society.
Yeah, I thank you for that. Well stated. I as we were speaking, I thought about when the word evolve and the fact that, you know, even sometimes I'm speaking and you have to be extremely respectful and be politically correct. But if you don't know, you ask. You know, I found myself asking my colleagues when I was ignorant to certain terminologies. I know that certain terms that were used in the past are now okay or acceptable today and so on and so forth. So thank you very much for embracing the notion that some people may not be purposefully trying to hurt someone who is identify LGBTQ, but sometimes they don't know. And you keep repeating the word educating. And I really appreciate you sharing that because that is, you know, highlighting the fact that it's an ongoing process and that's okay. And that's how we evolve and learn. Thank you so much.
Agreed. Well said, both. And Dr. Rahor mentioned, you know, has mentioned educating and it kind of speaks to back to what Jim has chatted about as well. And I kind of saved this for last because Jim and I chatted about it and Dr. Rahor and I have chatted about it independently about how critical it is to understand that children are teachers too, in a lot of ways.
Indeed.
If anything, Jonah right here is
testimony.
Teacher already. He's a master teacher. And you know, we were having Coach Henry and I were having a conversation about this, about how important it is to think about these issues from the child growth standpoint. That, you know, in some cases, you know, like Dr. Rahor mentioned, you have parents that are entrenched and have learned a lot of things that maybe we don't want to foster and cultivate. So really, if we want to think about moving forward, it is critical from an educational standpoint at the youth level to hit these issues. I can't, you know, stress it enough. Anybody want to add?
And, Dr. Rahor, you said it great. I'm sorry I cut you off, but I would, you know, a mentor of mine used to say, people change, but seldom. But people can evolve, you know, and that comes through education, right? So changing difficult, evolving happens all the time. And if you go with that mindset, and obviously you, I don't know, I listen to you talk about it all day, Lisa, everything you said is, I couldn't agree with it more, is it's just, it's an evolutionary process. And if you go to the, you know, we say it all the time, and I always use the example of like the older, you know, person my age, whatever, you have these beliefs, this belief set you've had your whole life. They're not going to change like that. But with education, with conversation, with experience, with firsthand testimony, you know, like, just like, no, this is how this really is. You know, evolution's possible. And I think that's our, as a society, our experience. And that's true with, you know, like all the things we talked about, whether it's inclusion due to the sexual orientation, whether it's gender, whether it's race, whether it's all anything that we need to move to a society that's better understanding of one another. And I think that's really well put.
Well stated, Coach.
Well, go ahead, Dr. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I do think that it's happening with some organizations. I know that they're hiring people in the positions of diversity and inclusiveness. And I think that, you know, their charge is going to be, you know, how to make these situations better and what can we do? I know, you know, in my conversation back with the AYHL president, that was the thing that he had, you know, wanted, you know, my opinion on, which again, I don't think I'm an expert in this. I just, you know, we had a story. This was our experience. We had an experience. And I think that, you know, we grow through experiences, and honestly, being able to look back on those experiences is what's important, you know, for us to be able to learn and grow. And so that's why, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to share our experience today. And again, I am hopeful for the future of not only hockey, but of other youth sport organizations as well, because I think that hockey is definitely going to be in the lead possibly on this. And I'm hoping that other programs will follow suit.
Well said.
Thank you.
Well, what do you think? Any other questions? Anything else you want to share for the audience, Joan? Anything? What do you think? Have you had fun today, my friend?
Yeah, but I would like to go back to
impressive.
One thing about our full story is that my teammates, it hurt them more than it hurt me, because like they didn't. My teammates knew that I had gay parents. I had two moms, but he didn't, and so. Like, I knew that, I just didn't know that they had my back. I knew that they were true friends, and that they would like friends. Cause like, if they didn't like me, then they wouldn't do that.
Right.
Wow. That's impressive. You know, that kind of speaks to what Coach Henry, you know, explained about creating a culture.
A culture, community.
Of a community, a culture that you put the team ahead of your own self. Wow. Very powerful. Hard. I think that's the way to wrap it up. What do you think, yeah. Dr. Ramsey?
I think it's awesome. I think,
that's a mic drop in other.
Indeed.
Absolutely. Close. Absolutely.
We discovered a star here, man.
Yeah. Great job, Arthur. Jonah. And Jonah's got practice tonight. So he's having his pre.
Oh, okay.
And so for our listeners, you know, he's wearing a Rangers jersey or a hoodie. We won't hold that against him, but he's had a pregame meal as well. So he's doing well. And we're really appreciative of you sharing your story, Dr. Rahor and Jonah. And
thank Coach you so Henderson, much.
On behalf of New York State AFER. Actually, before I even get into that, one thing I would like to add too is that Dr. Rahor is a past president of our
yes.
association, New York State AFER. And we certainly have learned a lot from her. And it was her sharing this story with our executive director, Ms. Colleen Corsi, that I got wind of it and said, wow, we should,
I like this, absolutely. Ms.
Corsi and Dr. Rahor that chatted and the rest is now history. And we're so grateful that you joined us and shared the story with us today. So thank you.
Fantastic. Yes.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity. We appreciate it.
Awesome. And thanks, Coach Henry. You've been great.
Yes.
Fantastic stuff. So let me wrap it up. On behalf of New York State AFER, Dr. Ramsey, and all of our members, we'd like to thank Dr. Rahor, Jonah, and Coach Jim Henry for joining us this evening to share their thoughts and perspectives. This session will be posted on the New York State AFER website as the 11th episode on our podcast channel. Stay tuned for more exciting shows in the near future.
Indeed, and please visit us at newyorkstateaford.org, social media handles at New York State AFER, or call us at 315-823-1015 for more information. And please mark your calendars for our upcoming return to Turning Stone November 18th through the 21st, 2021. We see you there.
Can't wait to see you. Let's say bye. Jonah, say bye to the audience.
Bye, Jonah. Thank you, Jonah.
Thanks, Jonah.
Thank you, Coach Henry.
Thank you.